We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, what's up? Kevin Jones, founder of Blue Wire. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Do me a favor, send it to one of your friends. We're growing this network, grassroots style. It takes everyone. You're a part of our team if you send this to one of your friends. All right, enjoy this podcast and appreciate your support.
Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to another episode of In the Know. We give a special second episode this week, but this time it's just Mason and myself. So sorry we couldn't treat you to someone more exciting. You're back with us. But thankfully, the Pelicans have continued to be exciting, and we haven't really had a chance to touch upon some of the more recent news. Mason, the Pelicans are on a ridiculous winning streak, I would say, right? So they landed David Griffin. They have won the lottery. They have now landed Trajan Langdon as general manager. Oh, I forgot. They've also landed Aaron Nelson. Mm-hmm. When does this stop?
let's go with it. It just doesn't, man. I mean, that's what I said when we kicked off the podcast with Dan that dropped this morning. I wanted to call it a roller coaster, but it hasn't been a roller coaster because it's been going straight up. And I don't know. I mean, it depends on what you consider a win, because I think the next thing is the draft. And so, there's a couple things could be. I mean, it's the Anthony Davis trade or no trade. And if you really want to consider it to continue winning, I mean, I think the win there has to be get him agreeing to the Supermax, despite everything that's happened. I feel like that's the biggest win. Do you feel differently?
Honestly, if you get a good return, that's a win for me too. I don't care.
Okay.
Resolving that situation is a win.
Okay. Yeah, fair. And then you've got the draft, and you're going to win that with the Zion pick by itself.
We're not going to win it with Ja Morant?
You're
not going to trade Zion for Ja Morant?
No, Scoop Jackson. We are not going to do that. So many things. I mean, just like, it's really it can be pretty fun to be contrarian for the sake of being contrarian sometimes. But you know what? Let's just Zion. You don't trade him for anybody. No one in the league is no one player in their situation is worth like. Yes, I would trade Zion for Giannis. But with Zion with 2 years left of his contract, when you don't know if he's going to stay, I don't know, man. I really think that there's no one player I would trade Zion for. And I don't even think there's a collection of players that makes sense either. Because it's a superstars league, and I'm going to stop talking about this right now because it's making my head hurt.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like you're pretty passionate there about this whole situation. I'm personally 100% ambivalent. I have no horse in the game at all. Why would I ever care about drafting perhaps the best player since LeBron and the idea of giving up the potential to draft him to get Ja Morant? Anywho, we were talking about the Pelicans' winning streak continuing. The Pelicans' title odds jumped from 300-1 to 25-1 next year. Does this just stop when the Pelicans are hoisting up the Larry O'Brien in July next year? Parade down Bond Street?
No, it stops in 5 years after they've run off five straight titles.
Oh, okay.
Just so we're clear. All right.
Cool. But no, it is. It's huge news. Now, Langdon was a candidate with the Pelicans for the last 2-3 months. After Dell Demps was fired, they brought in Mike Ford, who is a consultant that provides NBA teams with a list of potential general managers. He was responsible for getting Brooklyn in touch and hiring Sean Marks. And he's been used by a bunch of different teams since then, Pelicans being one of them. The Wizards are using him, I believe. Minnesota used him as well when they got Rosas in their search. But Langdon was a candidate. We talked about him several times on the pod. A lot of people were excited about him potentially being the lead decision maker for the Pelicans. And we all know how this turned out. David Griffin came into the fold. And what many people didn't expect was Griffin to turn around and reach out to Langdon to be like, hey, you were interested in this. Why don't you come on down? And that's honestly huge to get two of the biggest executives on the market to come to this city. You can tell that ownership is not shying away from any challenge. They're not shying away financially. They want to build the best possible infrastructure yet.
Yeah, I saw that and it's one of those situations where, I don't know, I didn't expect it, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, it's beginning to become not a surprise anymore, I guess. It just feels, which is kind of the biggest takeaway for me. It's like, yeah, this is an organization doing things the right way. And I felt like, I was very happy, obviously, about the hire, but I was like, no, this makes sense. And the one thing I was curious about, I don't think we'll ever get an answer to it. It's, you know, how much of a factor did did winning the lottery play in luring him over here? Obviously, I don't, like you said, the financial commitment is going to be there. The title is there. I am curious if the Pelicans get whatever pick they were kind of slotted to get, like seventh or eighth, if they still are able to hire Langdon into the role that he's in. But I don't care because it happened and I'm pretty pumped.
For sure. So, when the hiring or the announcement broke, the first thing I did was I called a friend who works for the Nets under Trajan. And I was like, yo, give me the lowdown. What is this dude like? How does he operate? Who is he as a person? And he had some great things to say. I think I tweeted some of this out, but you know, the first thing he mentioned to me was Langdon is a person who cares about you as a human being first. And then as an employee second. And that kind of resonates with what Griff said in his introductory conference about building relationships with people and worrying about the rest later. He went on to say that, you know, Langdon obviously had a huge role in setting up their scouting department. He came from a scouting background with the Cavs. He has a large and legendary playing career in Europe, where he's still recognized by a lot of fans, but he's been able to leverage that into building connections. And he basically organized their scouting hierarchy from college to league scouting to international scouting. And obviously he won Executive of the Year with the G League, and he had a huge role to play in that. And my friend basically said, you know, you can expect an uptick in resources in your organization devoted to those two specific areas if Trajan's going to be involved, which is great because, I mean, I think the Pelicans definitely have had a fair amount of international scouting in the past with Dell Demps. And for the life of me, the name of his scout escapes me, but he's still employed by the organization. But he is a well-respected scout around the league. So no disrespect to them, but just being able to add additional resources because, you know, one guy and whoever he subcontracts out can only do so much. So being able to add resources to that front is definitely going to be a huge boost to this organization. Being able to find those gems that other teams are overlooking and obviously developing sort of that G League structure that this franchise has absolutely never had. And he touched on some of those things in his introductory press conference or a conference call with the media where he said, you know, the G League is going to be an opportunity for the team and the coaching staff to kind of employ their ideals in a different setting so they can keep developing players. But obviously the distance of the team being in Erie is going to present a challenge. Do you, here's a question for you before I keep on droning on about Langdon. I think the answer to this is obviously yes, but I want to get your thoughts on how much do you think a boost in scouting and an investment in the G League is going to, one, you know, pay dividends down the road, but two, is it going to be something that the Pelicans can leverage in situations like, I don't know, free agency pitches or attracting other front office candidates, knowing that, you know, you have this infrastructure in place and you're building an attractive organization?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so. Yeah. The answer is yes. I don't know if, yeah, it's just a piece of the whole puzzle. So if I'm a marquee free agent and I'm, first of all, if I'm considering New Orleans in the first place, that's a huge win compared to where we've been historically. But it's like, you know, the G League itself, probably not moving the needle for me. But that being said, I think I think we talked about this maybe on one of our first pods or one of the ones where we talked about the Birmingham stuff. And it's just, it's going to be great to have a system in the G League in place. Like putting scouting to the side for a second, having the same sort of philosophy for the team and players in the same system that you're going to be having at the NBA level is going to be great because, I mean, we had, and I know that Blewett had some injury problems, but like, I feel like it was tough for him, tough for a guy like Cheick Diallo to really bounce back and forth seamlessly to all these different teams and then to New Orleans because you're playing all different styles. And if you're playing the same type of system, even if you're not with the Pelicans themselves, you can it's a lot easier to kind of make that switch back and forth and be a guy who can get a few spot minutes and actually be productive. I think much more important is the scouting side of this. And I mean, I feel like I'm sure you agree with that, but you mentioned the staff that, I mean, we had scouts like Dell Demps had these guys and we weren't doing these certain things, but we weren't staffed up the way a lot of other teams in the NBA were. And I think it's kind of apparent that the Pelicans just weren't great at evaluating younger talent or talent overseas. I mean, they got fringe guys and they've done a good job on players around the edges. Bertans notwithstanding. But overall, I think it was a gap or at least a moderate gap for this franchise. And I think really staffing up there and having, just better brain power at their disposal can only be good for this franchise.
No, I mean, absolutely. Just more resources leads to a more sustainable future down the road.
At Blue Wire, we don't just partner with any advertiser. We want to make sure we're giving our listeners a good deal on a product. That's exactly why we love doing business with Harry's. Harry's is giving Blue Wire listeners a shaving kit for just $3. go to harrys.com/bluewire and you'll save $10 on a trial set, which includes 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. If you're not familiar with Harry's, it's time you should be. Harry's is fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. The founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3.
Now, continuing on a little bit about Langdon, another thing one of my friend mentioned was he touched more on how big Langdon was on family and relationships. Now, it's easy to say, you know, this person really values culture, this person really values, you know, relationships, but there are some guys that truly go out of their way to make sure that this is an environment everyone wants to be a part of. And Langdon is that guy where in Brooklyn, he was going out of his way to make sure the players and the staff's families were well taken care of. And that means providing them with the proper amenities, and resources, making sure, you know, he's sending out birthday cards and flowers for whatever the occasion may be, just making them feel welcome and part of a big extended family. And going as far as making sure the family room in the arena, you know, is properly stocked and provisioned. So that's huge. I think the players' families are going to enjoy that. I think that also just builds goodwill towards everyone in the organization when that is the culture. And another thing that my friend mentioned was Langdon brings a very interesting perspective as a former player to the front office. Now, in a lot of front offices, you have people who haven't played in the NBA before, and it can be difficult to gain the perspective of someone who of a player right now in the locker room, and difficult to empathize with maybe some of their concerns. So when you're going through and making decisions and you're around, sitting around the table and you're tossing out ideas, Trajan will be that guy that brings that player perspective on, like, okay, how is this going to make the player feel? How is this going to make the rest of the teams feel? How is this going to impact the locker room culture? And for example, let's say you're trying to build the team and you're figuring out what you want to do with your last few roster spots, your core set. You have like those 12 or 15 guys that you want to set up, and you want to decide on, hey, do I bring in a vet here? Is this what we need? Or do I want to give some flyers out to your Christian Woods and your Jahlil Okafors? Like, what are we aiming for organizationally, but what is needed to maintain the integrity of the locker room? Which may seem like a minor point because you have a lot of people in the front in various front offices that are former players, but I do think it's a thing of value that Trajan brings.
Yeah, I don't think it goes without saying. I mean, it goes without saying that it's a good thing, but it's surprising how hit or miss this can be throughout different organizations. I think it just speaks to the overall culture that's being built. Specifically, I mean, you think about the relationship that already exists between Griffin and Alvin Gentry, and I mean, we've seen countless times where we saw in New Orleans where the head coach was in place and then the GM got hired and there was friction there. And I mean, and that's not even a really egregious case. I mean, you look around the league, and I won't name teams because I think we all know who they are, but that's kind of the point. You know, the teams that have unstable front offices and they're, you know, they put certain things in front of the people, and it typically comes back to bite you. I think you can have a, I don't know how to say this best, but I don't know. I feel like it's not necessarily table stakes. You can get by with a bad culture in the front office, but the second that things start to go poorly on the court, or I think that the friction there, or a bad culture in place really starts to show through, and things can go from bad to worse really fast.
No, for sure. And they say that the true mettle of a person or a team is shown in adversity. And
exactly.
And a kind of building these pillars where the whole culture is about positivity can go a long way in preventing some of the toxicity that arises from those situations. Now, moving on a little bit to talk about a further investment by ownership into the improvement of this team, Andrew Lopez, please, for the love of God, someone hire him, reported this week that Benson has committed about $4.8 million to upgrades and renovations in the arena. And this was something that Griff and Nelson requested, which is absolutely huge because the first dollar amount that was reported was $800,000, which is a big number in and of itself. But, you know, when you're looking at upwards of $5 million in upgrades, I mean, Gail is truly putting her money where her mouth is.
Yeah. And I can't remember what it was. I think someone mentioned the fact that, you know, $5 million can't buy a new facility. And it's like, well, we already had the facility. It's just certain things that needed to be upgraded. And honestly, did they need to be? Probably. It wasn't a necessity, but it was a choice. And it goes along with every choice that has been made over the last few months by Gail Benson. And that's to really invest and make sure that everyone knows, both externally around the league and internally as far as the fans in the city of New Orleans, that she's all in on building a real independently functioning organization that isn't, you know, trying to hide behind the Saints. Not that that was actually happening beforehand, but that seemed to be what many people thought. But yeah, and it's awesome, and it just gives everyone, you know, I think it's a message to fans who are thinking about buy season tickets. I mean, with or without Zion, if you know that unequivocally your owner is investing into the team and wants to put the best product possible on the floor, I think you're more likely to buy in, even if there's a down year, and say, hey, this is going to work out. And so I admire and respect the move there.
Well, it just sort of creates the sense that, and I don't think this is a feeling we've had before, but if Griff and whoever else in the organization go to Gail and like say, we need this thing and it's going to cost XYZ dollars, I don't have a doubt in my mind Gail's going to be like, okay, I like your reasoning for it. Let's go. Right? Do you feel like there's going to be much hesitation on ownership's part to continue to financially support and give the resources the front office needs to make things happen?
No, just make the case and don't just throw around money like it's sure. Monopoly money. But yeah, I mean, make the case and sell it to her. And I think if you have a good business case, it'll happen. I don't think we could confidently say that in years past.
Both Griff and Trajan went out of their way to say on the conference call that the Pelicans are truly Miss Benson's baby. I think we've kind of joked around with that term in the past, but they really are, right? It seems, you know, she was the one who picked the colors out. I think she was the one who picked the name in the first place. She has always wanted to make this the franchise that it needs to be, and she's really getting the chance to flex, for lack of a better word. I want to drop a couple nuggets on you guys to show you how they're still committed and not done setting up this team. Basically, from my understanding, what I'm hearing is their next course of action is bringing in an assistant GM. They're going to have at least three more staffers, one of which is a scout. And there's a name I can't mention yet, but there's an executive on the playoff team that they're also targeting. So they are very much not done filling out the front office. And they let go of Shane Booth. There's been other people who were dismissed. Dan Purcell, I don't believe this was reported. I came to know a couple nights ago, was also let go. And there might be some other people that follow, but this organization is truly putting their money where their mouth is. They're searching for the best of the best. And if you heard Trajan on the conference call, he said that Griff hasn't really outlined a role for him, so to speak. They're going to figure that out as they go along, which kind of tells you they are more focused on bringing in the right talent and the right people and then kind of dividing responsibilities from there.
Yeah, and that's obviously more good news. And man, can you imagine? I mean, just think about transferring that to like any of our daily lives or our jobs, employers. If you went to if a company was gonna hire, like I can't picture that, hiring someone and not knowing what your job is, but like, yeah, we'll hire you anyway. Like, you've got to either have a super unique set of skills that makes you an asset no matter where you're gonna end up, or you've just got to have an organization, like you said, that's committed to talent and getting just the right people, and we'll figure out the details later, but we want you. I mean, it shows commitment. Like, and that's honestly, maybe that's part of what drew Langdon to New Orleans. If, you know, what's my job? I don't know. We'd like you though. We'll figure it out. Like, if I had a company have that much confidence in me and it showed like that, I would want to work for them. So it's all good. And that's, you know, obviously news to me regarding the fact that we're going to take another step. I'm surprised, like legitimately surprised to hear that they're looking for an assistant GM, because you've got Griffin as EVP, you've got Langdon as GM, and that feels like a good top two. And now you're talking about another name effectively to come in and be the number three man. And that's just, I mean, that's almost overload in commitment to building a successful franchise.
It's crazy, man. You know, you might see the Pelicans become a farm team in the sense where every other team that's looking to stabilize their front office or start poaching from the Pelicans front office, which would be quite the change from the last decade or so. I mean, you know, since ever.
Yeah.
More related Pelicans news. All NBA teams were announced, as well as all defensive teams. And Drew Holiday got second team all defense, which is good, but a little bit disappointing. The first team guards were Eric Bledsoe and Marcus Smart. Do you feel strongly about that?
Sorry, say that one more time. You cut out for a little bit.
Drew Holiday making second team all defense. Do you feel strongly about the people in front of him?
Oh, I thought that's where you went with it. I got cut for like 2 or 3 seconds. I'm okay with it. I think my general comments about it was, yeah, I think he's a better defender than Bledsoe. However, you look at the names on first and second team, and everyone's on a team with 49 wins or more. You look at all the guys who got first place votes for all defense. Every single one of those guys besides Drew and Robert Covington was on a playoff team. I mean, I at this point, you just have to accept the fact that those teams are just laden with players that made the playoffs or strong teams. I mean, like, even look at New Orleans last year. New Orleans was an above average but not really great defensive team by all the metric, or like most of the, like the pace per possession defensive stats last year, but they made the playoffs and they had two players on all first team all defense, and AD and Drew both absolutely deserved it. I'm not saying that they didn't, but it matters. Team success matters, however, you know, whether you like it or not. And so, you know, all that being said, I think Drew making second team just in spite of the 33 win Pelicans, I think is a testament to him and his reputation by itself.
I'm just glad this year there wasn't some meme player voted on. Last year, DeJounte Murray, I will never forgive that. The guy played like 22 minutes.
20 minutes a game.
Come on. Yeah. I know we're Block Boys, but like, that's the most Block Boys thing ever.
Oh my God.
Ever. I mean, come on. Anywho, I think there was a lot of good candidates that missed out too. Patrick Beverley didn't make it. PJ Tucker didn't make it. There were no one from the Pacers made it, and they had, I think the top two defense all year. So it's tough. I mean, I'm happy for Drew. It earned him a bonus. It doesn't affect our cap situation because it was a likely bonus since he made first team all defense last year.
Right.
So, you know, good for Drew. Happy for him. Hopefully we can get him back into first team all defense next year. And hopefully we can get Zion in there too. So I think we can we could just end the podcast.
Yeah, let's I think that's the move. Let's do that. We already got a good solid hour of content with Ricky on the draft, and I think this helps. You gave the people some good little nuggets that isn't out anywhere else. So insider scoop, and we can come back next week and talk about the next cool thing the Pelicans have done in the meantime.
For sure. Let's hope to continue to keep making noise in a good way.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, folks.